Podcast. My name is Josh.
And I'm Jeff.
And today we're talking about stuff.
You know what I want to know?
What?
Why does so much hair grow to my ears? It's not growing on my head anymore. It grows out of my ears.
My son, it's so crazy because Weston just said the other day, why do you have hair in your ears? Do I have hair in my ears?
Do I? I get it.
Like
not
it's coming
lot.
Out?
I got more. I gotta like pick it out and stuff. I just noticed
yours is sticking out like an old man's. Yeah.
Yeah, but I get rid of it.
Like
don't
the
worry.
Guy from Up.
Not that bad.
I can see it from here.
Well,
Jeff.
I know because I got to get rid of it. But tell me why. What do ears need hair for?
Protection.
From what?
SJW.
I feel like it would be anti-protection. I feel like hair would lock in bacteria and you get ear infections and stuff. I just don't get it.
Yeah, well.
I can't wait until somebody says, these guys are worth it and they want to sponsor us and they're going to like get us hair transplants for the top of our head and hair removal for
like
inside our
ones.
Ears. Oh, yeah. I saw these Instagrammers. I don't want to throw them under the bus because I really like the guys, but I saw some of their early stuff. Both of them are bald.
Really?
Like, not bald, but you know what I mean? Like, receding
Musk,
like us.
Look at Elon Musk before who he is now.
Yeah.
He was super bald. Now he's like got a beautiful head of hair.
Lots of money and he put hair in. But these guys, they're good looking dudes and it's hilarious. You look at their old stuff. You're like, those guys are receding. And then all of a sudden now it's like,
does it look good though?
Perfect.
So let's ask them and then get it done.
How are we going to get it done? We can't afford that.
We will beg, borrow and steal.
Anyone, if anybody's listening that has hair.
Here's a question. Here's a would you rather then.
Okay.
Would you rather have a beautiful full head of hair and be like a 4 out of 10 or like a 9 out of 10 and be bald?
Bald 9 out of 10.
Really?
Easy.
Yeah, easy.
Look at Brad Pitt.
That guy can do anything he wants.
He shaves his head bald. He looks fantastic.
He can literally do whatever he wants, anything, no matter what. That guy looks hot.
Chris Pratt's hot too.
Chris Pratt's also hot. I don't know what he would look like with a shaved head though.
He'd look fine.
I'm not sure. I'm not as sure as you
fine.
Are. It's funny because today, what happened today? We went over, so our kid's school has this thing coming up.
Yeah.
It's a variety show.
Variety show and auction. They're trying to raise some money for a good cause.
And we're pumped about it. And so Jeff and I got to do the announcements for it with our podcast. And, just popping over to the school and the kids are hearing announcements and, Jeff's kid's super embarrassed. Mine is basking in the
He loves
glory.
The fame.
He loves it. And it's really cool, but just, decided that, today's the day we're going to talk about this whole education thing that's happening here.
Absolutely. We got to get to the bottom of this.
And so there's a lot going on. And not only that, the thing that's going on in Ontario, but overall in education generally in the Western world. Why are teachers not like the most celebrated people on earth?
Some places they are. Some countries.
Here, I think teachers do really well, to be honest with you.
Here, teachers get a bad rap, though, because people don't like that they get the summer off. That's what you always hear.
Yeah, summer
Man,
off.
If I had to deal with other people's crappy kids all the time, I'd want more than the summer off.
Yeah, it's true.
I'd need to be put in a home probably.
Teachers get paid here pretty well. I think I know a teacher. I think if you're a teacher for like 10 years, you're probably making about 90K, which is pretty good.
Yeah, it's decent.
It's decent. I mean, you work 10 years.
And you get the summers off, which is
and March break,
sweet,
Christmas, they get good holidays.
You know what my response always is too? Because people bust firefighters' chops too about the job and about what you get to do. You know, you get to go to work and sleep or whatever. That's what they all think.
Everybody airing a grievance by Jeff right now. Let's do this.
But everybody thinks that if you're a firefighter, you just go to work and sleep, which is amazing to me. But anyways,
except for the, possibility of dying
on
the
job. but the funny, my reaction, I don't care because one, I like making fun of people. So make fun of me. It's funny. Like I actually enjoy the banter, but I have the best comeback ever. It's like, I will get you an application.
Let's do this.
Here's your application. Fill it out. You want to do it. It's awesome. Come do it. Come sleep all day. If that's what you think this is.
I think it's funny that people like, even as a pastor, like a worship pastor, people are like, what do you do all day? I'm like, oh, if you only knew, like something like 60 hours a week, some of these I worked or
it's
longer.
It's just funny. People are always looking from the outside.
Yeah,
everybody, the grass is greener, right?
Yep,
it's always the grass is greener. Yeah. So,
but I think
that's
funny. Teachers get a bad rap because, and they strike a lot. And so parents get super pissed because, if teachers striking messes up
it
lives.
It does affect
hard.
People's lives.
And the thing is the teachers unions only strike when it like hurts. The parents, not the principals, not the board. It hurts the parents so that the parents, but it never ends up being the teacher's favor. Parents just end up hating them because they strike at the moment that they shouldn't be striking.
Right. But
I get why they
have no other recourse.
I get why.
Like, what are they supposed to do? Right.
Yeah, so I totally get why. But I got a dad joke for you. You ready for this one?
I would like to hear it.
Why were the teacher's eyes crossed?
Why, Josh?
She couldn't control her pupils.
You know what I thought? Man. I thought her eyes were just really affectionate. That's why they were always looking at each other.
No, that's That's
come on.
Nope.
That was a double joke.
It wasn't not even close to the same
That's
level.
That's two cross-eyed jokes within 2 seconds. It That's just, pretty
it
impressive.
It didn't help it, is what I'm saying. It just didn't. It didn't come along and support it. But anyway, so we're really excited about what's going on at the school, and so that we get our kids, like, we're cooler than our kids.
Yeah.
And it always have been, but now kids know that, and now they're mad because they know
we're Yeah, because we got more street cred in the school.
We're way better. You want to talk about grievances? Let's do it. What do you got?
It's your neighborhood and all your rich cars driving around again.
Why?
Drove here.
Another one.
I had an Audi back out in front of me and then just not move because they're in an Audi and they don't have to. Just sat there.
Well, don't you know?
So then finally I'm like, I go around and they just looked at me like I did something wrong because I'm driving on the street that they decided to park on.
Oh, man.
Like in the middle. That was one.
So stupid.
Another guy driving a Volvo takes the corner hardcore, comes into my lane where I have to actually stop to allow him to drive through my lane. That's another one. And the other one was, I can't remember what kind of car it was. Maybe a Lexus. Did the exact same thing, to pull out and just not go anywhere.
What is wrong with people in my neighborhood? If you're in my neighborhood and you're listening to this, you're making me look bad. Stop being that way. It's funny because we have this River Ridge, like, Facebook clothes group page where you can, like, sell things.
Prestigious.
But it's pretty prestigious. But mostly people, it's so funny. This isn't a grievance. This is just funny. Mostly people air their grievances on there.
Really?
So the same thing. Like, if a guy drives fast, they'll go on that Facebook page and be like, to that blue Honda that drove fast the other day.
Public shaming.
Oh, and it's like the blue Honda. Like, okay, the blue Honda. There's 4,000 blue Hondas in this neighborhood. Like, and they get really upset, or they'll start. I mean, I remember at one point this one mom had called out. So what happened was at the park, Tristan and his buddies did this thing. It's called low riding.
Yeah. So
did I talk on the podcast about
Maybe,
this?
But go again. It's good.
And they just, Tristan put his pants under his underwear, like, you know, low riding. His underwear was still up. And she went on the page to just like, my daughter came home bawling her eyes out and boys were running around naked and swearing. And I'm like, take it right out. And I was like, you got to be careful on these pages, man.
Naked? So,
like, but because she just was looking to get, she was a professional offended person.
Yeah.
Could tell that she was offended those by the color of her hair.
Those people offend me.
You know what I'm talking about, right? You know, the horn rim glasses and the color of their hair, and they're like 40. Stop. Stop it. I know I'm judging and I'm being judgy. But when you're, though, yeah, I don't know how to say this really nice. Just stop. Yeah. You're not a teenager anymore. There's a time you need to just grow out of that stuff because it looks ridiculous on you.
Yeah.
It looks ridiculous on teenagers.
Sure.
But I'll be like, hey, they're going through a phase. They're just trying to express themselves and do whatever they want. But if you're a 50-year-old lady with pink hair at Walmart, you got to stop doing that stuff. You're killing me, Smalls.
Yeah. If you're still tattletaling, there's a reason why we tell kids don't tattletale, right? Especially over stupid stuff. If somebody's getting hurt, I get it. Call in somebody to help. But that,
you know what is so weird about being a parent now that I'm at a school with a bunch of other parents is that people just, like, I'm on the parent council at my school and they're a whole bunch of really cool people.
Yeah.
Like, really cool. But sometimes we have this lady that goes to this one meeting. Okay. And she goes to this meeting where they talk about what goes on in our whole school board. And she has to come back and tell us what's going on at this meeting.
Okay. So she represents
our school at
you
this
guys
meeting.
At the
she
meeting.
Comes back and she's just shaking her head like, these people are crazy. They'll just argue about the dumbest things, the tiniest, but sometimes very smart things. Like, sometimes that things that bug them about the education system.
Yep.
At our school, the issue is the kiss and drop, right?
Yep.
So if you, especially in the winter, if you have a snow day, the school's still open, so parents will drop their kids off because there's no way, because people need to work, right?
Sure.
Snow days kill people because you have to stay home with your kids. So if the school's open, my kid's going.
Yep.
But the kiss and drop, our school's on a main strip.
Yep.
So, and the parking lot is tiny, so you can't even get in there. There's not enough. So the street is backed up the whole way and people are so upset, like so mad. And so they bring this to the thing and there's nothing we can do about it. But the principal's like, there's nothing you can do about it. And people just hate him.
They hate it because of that inconvenience on those days.
I'm like, let's just move to school.
Yeah.
It's interesting to be a parent who thinks I don't want to say the word enlightened because that's not the right word, but I'm like, I don't let things kind of bug me as much. Like, I'm like, it's weird to see how sometimes parents are just completely sometimes off the rocker. Like,
sure.
You ever been in these mommy groups on Facebook? Like, oh my goodness.
See,
these people are crazy.
Sometimes I feel that people that get involved, it's awesome. They get involved for the right reasons,
yes,
right?
Yes.
But they come from, I don't know, maybe, like, I'm thinking of one person in particular. They used to solve big problems, right?
Yeah.
So now every little problem that is involved with anything that their child does is now the biggest deal, and they will fight to the death to like change a color of something because their kid wants it to be changed to a different color, or to like anything, right? Yeah. It's crazy. You got to sometimes let your kids learn based on stuff. But I know what you're saying, like with the school and people getting mad at the principal. I mean, people, because they're in their own little bubble, and they can't be inconvenienced because their day is going the way it has to go. Yep. And if you're inconveniencing them on that day, they lose their minds.
Yeah.
I would say if I'm late somewhere, I probably have a little bit of that in me. Like, you start to get pissed at people for driving the speed limit because I want to exceed it.
I get that all the time. The other day, I'm like, why? Like, it's only when I'm in a hurry. It's like when you're in a hurry and you try to print something, the printer knows.
That's right.
And I just want to punch. I've broken, no joke, Kathy can, I've smashed at least 3 printers in my lifetime for just being done with printers. Like, printing on when I'm trying to get out of the house. I don't know what it is. And then as soon as I get out and I'm in a hurry, people are like, it's not that they're just driving normal, like 10 over. It's always like 10 under. Oh. It always happens to be in those moments. Maybe it's just accentuated because I'm in a hurry, but there's never just, if they were driving normal, I'd be okay with it.
Right.
But people just like, one thing that pisses me off the most about anything else in the world is people who are unaware of the way that they drive and are just unaware of that they're either super slow or they don't know where they're turning and they're just like, they're not looking, they don't know their peripherals. They don't see what's around them.
And just,
and this is where accidents happen.
Stay there.
Yeah. Whoever that Lexus person was, dink.
Thatcher and I, the other day, we were in the car and there was a car parked in the left lane. It's a one-way street, right? So you got 3 lanes across, I guess. Truck doing delivery in the left. There's a car behind him. Guy just pulls into the right lane, right into the side of another car.
Oh, you saw it?
It was slow-mo, too. It's like, how did you not look and see what was going on? No, just, oh, there's a truck in my way. I'm just going to go to a different lane. And we'll see what the consequences are.
You know what I hate the most? And it does happen today, actually. And it happens a little bit. I was just getting off an exit, and he was in front of me, and then just raced right in front of me because he was going to get on the exit. Didn't put his blinker on. And then I'm like, I didn't honk. I just put, I did one of these, like, what the heck? And he's like, and then he gets mad at me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, you are the one who are wrong. All you have to do is, like, wave your hand, sorry. I do it all the time. If I do that to somebody, I'm like, sorry. Yeah. You know the thing. You know the universal, sorry about that. They get mad at you for getting mad at them for doing something stupid. Those people are serial killers, probably, or they're psychopaths.
That might be the new generation, though. It's excuses for everything.
I just like when people look at me and are mad, or they want to see who honked at them or something, and they look at me and I'm like, and I give them the face. I'm like, yeah, look at me. And then they don't say anything after that. Because I have the big beard, right? So I might not be the best fighter in the world, but the beard makes me look a little crazy.
You gotta cauliflower your ears up a bit, and then no one will mess with you ever.
All right, you got a story for us?
Yeah, I got a story. Since you're talking about education, I'm taking us to a school.
Let's do it.
So we do tours. We call them truck tours. We'll take the truck to a school. Okay. We'll get a couple classes out. They tour the truck. We talk to them about fire safety. And I've actually got lots of great stories from doing that because it's actually pretty fun, right? You know, in the community, teachers love it because they're getting a little bit of a break. Kids love it because they get to see the fire truck, right? They love it. This day was such a joyous day. What we usually do at these things, part of the show, is we'll get one of our firefighters, usually the junior guy on the crew, to dress up in all the gear. Yep. So that especially little kids can see what we look like. Because with the mask and the helmet and everything done up, like you can barely see the guy's eyes, right?
Yep.
So it's nice to get them not afraid of a firefighter and they can see it in a safe environment, right? So they're not hiding from us in fires. So we get this guy. I don't know, what should I call him? I don't want to use his real name. I'm going to call him Mud.
Okay.
So Mud was not blessed with height. Okay?
He's vertically challenged.
All of his growth hormone went to his neck, and it didn't make his neck long. It just made it super thick. He's got a big, thick neck. Anyways, we're getting Mud dressed, and he's got the two tallest guys on the crew standing beside him, helping him put his pack on and all this. Because, I mean, that's what we do, right?
Yeah.
We get to the question period. First kid, hand up in the front. He goes, when do we get to see a real firefighter get dressed?
Like, real, for reals, though. He wasn't being facetious.
He was not being funny. He meant it.
I thought the guy was kidding.
And Mud wanted to murder the kid. We were all laughing. The teachers were laughing. Everybody was laughing. So kid was probably about the same size as Mud, so I mean, it might have been a good fight, but I still think Mud would have won. But oh my goodness,
is Mud still there?
It was the best. He's not still at my station, but he's still a firefighter. And he, we tell that story because it happened years ago. He will laugh, but it still makes him mad.
It still stings.
Oh, it still hurts. But it was glorious.
Yeah, I remember seeing the fire. I remember being young and being like enamored with firefighters and like, that's a really cool job. I never thought about being one though. Like, so it's like rare. It's rare that people actually see that the inside of a fire truck and the stuff that goes on. It's a cool job, man. You got a pretty cool job.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, kids can do it anytime. I mean, people don't realize, if you don't realize you're in your community, you can take your kids by like during business hours and ask to see the station. It's a public building, right?
Yeah.
You can't just walk in, but you can knock and say, hey,
nice
can
about we, it. I'm sure they'll be, if they're not too busy.
Oh yeah. Show up with donuts or cookies. It's always man, welcomed.
You're in
for sure. That those guys will give you a great tour if you bring some donuts.
I give
cookies.
My garbage guys, like in the summer and stuff, freezies and like drinks and stuff. Those guys love me. And every time if I'm out and the garbage guys are out there, it's just an awkward thing anyway when guys are picking up your garbage, because I always put tons of garbage out too. We have a very large carbon footprint in this house. We have like 6 bags of garbage every 2 weeks. Like, it's insane.
What are you doing?
We have 6 people in this family.
These are dead bodies?
Maybe.
That's a lot.
Don't ask questions. All right. But I always feel so awkward. I'm like, thanks, but I'm always at the same time. And I would try to teach my kid. I'll get Weston around to them and say, thank you very much. And they my house is always like, there's never a speck of garbage on them because they know
they
our house.
They
know
like
our
you.
House because we're really, really thankful. I mean, I think that's just a lesson in like, be thankful to like, you see a firefighter, just be like, you know, thanks for being a firefighter. Thanks for being a cop. No one ever says thanks anymore.
No, people do.
Do they?
There are some very, very kind people. There are people that look at us sideways too. Like,
they
give us a hard time and don't like that we're buying lunch. Blows me away. Everybody else can eat lunch, but if a firefighter's in there, they don't like it. So, but there are lots of people, and in fact, it happened last week. Somebody came up and thank you so much for what you guys do. We really appreciate it. And it feels good because it's true. But like you said, like garbage guys too, those guys, all they hear is complaints.
Yep.
Because if something doesn't go right, you know somebody's calling head office and complaining about what they didn't do
or left the bin
or
out
they left or this or
piece
whatever.
Of garbage on the floor or something.
Yeah. So, Thanking those guys.
Yep.
Thank them.
You should always give your garbage man, if it's cold in the winter, put some hot chocolates out. Whatever. You know, give them candy at Halloween. To be like, garbage guys, candy. And in the summer, our freezer's always packed full of freezies. The big ones, too. The jumbo freezies.
Oh, perfect.
I'll always make sure Westy runs out with a couple freezies. They love it. Let's go to Hot Topics, because quickly it just talks about firefighting thing. And so the what's it called in Paris? The friggin' thing burned down. What's it called?
Notre Dame
Cathedral, where what's his name lives?
The Hunchback.
He's pissed. His house is on fire.
It's terrible.
Hunchback of Notre Dame is up in flames.
What do you think? What do you want to say about this?
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, you know, everybody's going to put their tinfoil hat on and they're going to start saying, well, this is caused by, Catholic terrorism, where people are, maybe this is a rebuttal or maybe this is response to all the ministers and stuff that have been abusing kids, and they're like, maybe this is like a payback, because the Notre Dame Cathedral is one of the most prolific Catholic buildings on earth.
Sure.
Like, it's like one of the wonders of the world. For that to burn down, you know that it's, as a firefighter, you see this, you look at the picture of that fire.
I'm looking.
What do you think causes something like that?
Like, it's definitely up in the roof.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming it's, I don't know what the construction is, but it's probably a stone construction building, but the roof is going to be made out of wood, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that'll definitely burn. Is that it right there?
Yeah.
Wow. That is going.
That's going. That's, I mean, like, what do you think? Is that a 5-alarm fire? Would that be considered a 5? Is that what they call it?
That term is different across every municipality. So that's just the amount
of
trucks you're going to get.
Oh, okay.
It's
okay.
A term. Well, you got a first alarm, second alarm, third alarm, but every situation is different, right?
Is like, every alarm meaning an extra station?
No. So a first alarm for a house fire is different than a first alarm for an apartment fire.
Okay.
You get more trucks. So you get 5 trucks at one and you get 7 at the other.
Okay, okay.
But as you add more alarms, you get more personnel and more chiefs and more, like, you're just ramping it up. Oh, that's a good picture.
It's a beautiful picture. Unfortunately, it's up in flames.
Yeah, it's on fire. So what causes? I don't know. Don't they light candles in that place?
It says it's under, but I think the Catholic Church, every Catholic Church lights candles. And over the time, I'm sure there's been small fires, but this, like that, how does a small candle, because look, if you ever go into a Catholic Church that's full of, like, that's like this style,
yeah,
the candles are on this big stone and even if it tipped over and lit a sash on fire or something, there's no way that's catching.
Yeah, but if it, what about a tapestry though? Like they got those huge tapestries.
I don't think the, I don't know.
And, I've never seen, that because it's hanging vertically, if it, one of those tapestries catches, it's going to go up to the roof quick. And how old is that place? Like 30 years old? 40 years old?
Tame?
Yeah.
500 years?
I'm joking.
Okay.
I'm joking.
It's like, whoa.
Yeah, it's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old, right?
Yeah.
So the wood in that place is going to be dry.
Wow, look at it. This, look, Notre Dame. It's beautiful.
That's crazy. I don't know how that burned.
So that's what I'm saying. Like most of it's metal, gold, and like what catches fire in here?
No, some of this stuff's wood.
Some of it's wood. Okay, all you're right. Oh, so stuff. It is wood. The ornate stuff is wood. So that catches fire. It's done.
Well, and look at the tapestries. Like look at stuff hanging there. I mean.
So you're saying, yeah, so, that makes, I think so it is a lot of wood in there.
Maybe they got complacent with their candle safety.
They didn't have you on board on staff for that kind of thing. You know, I know why the Catholic Church still exists today is because they have billions of dollars worth of, like, they have libraries that are untouched, you can't even go in. They have billions of dollars worth of gold and everything else because the Catholic Church is actually a completely dying church. Like, it's not growing at all. It hasn't been growing in 30 years.
Right.
And, like Catholic Church is just, like, on, like, not to say that it's bad or good. I'm just saying, as a pastor who goes to a, you know, who's a post-Christian pastor, like, I cannot believe the Catholic Church has still survived, but I know why they are.
Sure.
And it's because Da Vinci Code.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks will solve it. When is it going to be time for the U.S. or Canada, anybody, to finally find a leader that everybody can be like, this guy or girl is like, yes, finally. Obama sort of was like that, I guess, until you started realizing.
People hated his guts. Yeah, except, like, you're right.
It wasn't. So I take that back. Obama wasn't like that. It sort of seemed like it was. He was the most loved of the Democrats of all time. But when's the last time you even had a prime minister? I'm trying to remember, like, where it was just like, it wasn't that much to be worried about, and everybody was like, okay, why is it so hard for politicians now to just be like, let's just friggin' put all this aside and just work? It doesn't exist, it won't, I don't think it's ever going to exist now. I think it's just going to get worse from here. There's going to be civil wars, there's going to be separations, there's going to be people, you know, separating from, they're talking about now Chicago separating from Illinois.
Can that happen?
Become its own thing.
Really?
It'll be the murder country of the world.
Apparently Chicago... Interesting fact.
Yeah.
Has an amazing city flag.
I've never seen it.
Apparently it's like people love it so much that they like fly it everywhere and like they wear it on their like sweatshirts and backpacks. Like there's a ton of Chicago pride. I heard that on that 99% Invisible show.
Okay. Oh.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's cool.
People love it.
Yeah.
The city loves it. If you are a, I want to say firefighter. If you have like a line of duty death, you know how, I'm pretty sure it's firefighters, probably cops too. You know how they fold the American flag in Chicago? They fold that flag.
They fold that one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cool.
What else are we going to talk about?
I don't know. Why did I? Sorry. It's funny how Chicago separate. Hey, they got a cool flag.
Chicago kills everybody, but their flag is really nice. Chicago's the murder capital of the world, but have you seen their flag?
It's a beautiful flag.
Unreal. But I will say this again, getting back from Chicago, still one of the most beautiful cities I've seen. Manhattan, still like, nobody touches Manhattan. You've been?
No.
Holy dude, let's just go and podcast from Manhattan. Anywhere. Let's go. We'll bring the wives. We'll go podcast from Manhattan.
Okay.
It'll be sweet.
We always talk
about these things on a show where we're going to do, and we will do some of these things, I promise.
Eventually.
I told Jeff today, I'm like, why don't we do something like walk across the U.S. or bike or do something crazy and raise money for something so that in the end saying... But when we get to LA, Chris Pratt's got to be there meeting us if we hit our goals. That's the only way we're going to get this done is if we do something crazy enough that like gets the national attention.
Yeah.
And then he'll be waiting for us with like ice cold lemonade.
That'd be nice.
And hanging out at his house, barbecuing.
And
that's all we care about.
Wool socks that he darned himself
from his lambs. And like just podcasting from his house. I know you can't.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool.
Because you can't take a lot of vacation because you spend the whole summer.
He's got like a ranch. That'd be super cool.
Let's do it. Another thing I'd like to do is... like just go find dads with some really cool stories.
That'd be super awesome.
I think that'd be fun. Just
why don't
go...
we bring more dads on here?
I know.
We gotta start small. We gotta start here.
I think you're right. Oh, like parenting marriage tip. Got anything? Parenting, because we're gonna talk about students, kids today. How can we encourage our kids to do better in school? What do you think would work? Can we back our teachers up more instead of complaining to our teachers if our kids fail? Or, you know, what
can we do to encourage our kids to do better in school?
Yeah.
That is such a hard question because I've got three very different kids.
Yeah.
Like
they're all three different.
And are motivated differently. Like that's a tough one. It's actually one that Trish and I are a little bit struggling with. Is there not a part of you? There's definitely a part of me that just wants my kid to be self-motivated, to understand that, you know, I mean, school's not the be-all end-all, but it is the means to an end. I mean, I guess it sounds kind of pathetic when you say it that way, but it's true. You need to do it. You can't just...
You've got
to
get good grades.
Well, you can't just not go to school and then hope for the best. I mean, there are a few success stories of people, but those people are like...
Yeah, like they dropped crazy, out of Harvard.
Well, yeah, well they're crazy geniuses, right, yeah. that can do that. And I don't... I mean, my kids are not dumb. Like, they're smart kids, but that's not going to happen, I don't think. Unless I'm missing something.
I promise you Thatcher's going to be a billionaire.
I hope so.
He's going to be a billionaire, and I'm going
to
be his
friend.
He's
the one that's the hardest to motivate.
Yeah, but he's going to stumble onto something that's going to be like, he's going to be famous. He's going to be famous.
I hope so. But I mean, Ty's got tons going for him.
Ty's
going
to be a rich businessman.
I hope so. And Adelaide, she is like, I do not have to tell her to do anything. She's telling me when we have to leave. Like, and I like being early. And
I need to call Adelaide every night because every time I ask Tristan if there's homework, he's like, nope. I'm like, I'm going to call Adelaide. He's like, oh yeah, well, I have this thing. He's like, because he knows if I call Adelaide, she'll tell me what homework there is. She's my little spy.
She'll have it. She makes lists. She's like her mom. She makes lists.
She's got the haircut calendar going.
She's got, you know what? Give my wife a hard time about her list, but... She organizes our whole
check,
family.
Man,
she
wish keeps I had us all in, I wish in I had a Trish.
Sure.
We suck
awesome.
Here. I'm like, well, Kathy's like, put it in the calendar. I'm like, sometimes I do.
Where's the calendar?
Well, it's on Google, but Kathy's like, if I don't put in the calendar, she like, you know, she kills me. She's like, well, it's not the calendar. So I'm like, well, it's in my head. She wants it in the calendar. I'm getting better at it.
I have not written things in the calendar, and I've also gotten in trouble because they come up and you're like, oh shoot, I didn't. Like, yeah. I get nervous. I'm like, oh, I forgot to say that. I got to sneak over to the calendar and get it in the calendar real quick. Like, no, it was there.
This is in red pen, and I
she'll do carbon dating or something like on the ink. This was done 3 hours ago.
That's so funny. Again, we still have to prank her about the calendar somehow. We got to figure out how to prank that calendar.
I still want to just.
We should burn it. That's not really a prank. This is really mean. Hey, check this prank out.
We know what the hell are you doing? We Notre Dame'd your calendar.
We Notre Dame'd it.
All right, here we go. We got our guest for today. It's Ian, a teacher friend that I know.
Who's in the studio.
He's in the studio. He came live.
Here I am.
In the basement.
We couldn't get Chris Pratt, but Ian said he'd come. So
he's just as good as Chris Pratt.
He's
similar.
He's similar.
He's as good looking as Chris Pratt.
And look at how bald.
Yeah. What's that?
He looks good. We're talking about being bald.
The question was, would you rather be... Well, let's ask him.
Yeah, we usually throw out a little would you rather question. So the question was, would you rather be have a beautiful full head of hair but be like a 4 or 5, or would you rather be bald and a 9?
I'm going to have to go with bald.
Yeah,
that's absolutely. What we all said. We said the same thing.
No question.
And we pulled up Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt has a full head of hair. He looks great. Shaves his head bald. Looks great.
It's Brad Pitt. It's genetics.
Science.
It's science. So what are we talking about today?
Yeah, so how long have you been a teacher, Ian?
14 years.
And you teach what grades?
Teach high school and teach business studies subjects, and I've taught some math in the past too.
Oh, math.
Yeah.
I hate math.
You're going to have to take a test now, according to Ford, right?
You know what?
Or you can't
teach math anymore.
I thought
about that, and I'm like, I'm good.
You're good to go.
You can nail it.
I'm okay. I've taught grade 9 math. That's about the extent of my math abilities, and so I'm fine with the test. Looking around the school, though, there's a lot of people who will not be fine.
Really?
With a math test.
Like a lot of teachers?
A lot of teachers.
Wow. So what is grade 9 math is like, that's like street math. You need that math to like function on a daily basis, do you know?
No, that's like grade 4 math.
Yeah. Do you need to know the equation of a line?
Mm-mm. Probably not.
Yeah.
Do you need Pythagoras' theorem for anything ever?
Even probably not.
Never? Not sure. What do you need that for anyway?
That's a great question.
Like,
and that's
genetic
why
or not genetic, for engineering?
Yeah, I suppose so, but I imagine that you're not pulling the A squared plus B squared equals C squared out.
And ever.
Ever.
Not even for a party.
There's an app for that anyways, so you just go to the app.
So the general, if you were to say a general consensus, if this thing does go through, Ford says starts testing teachers in math, are you saying people are scared?
Yes.
Are you going to make some bank on going in with a wig on and like writing a test as Mrs. Smith?
There will be a lot of teacher tutoring sessions.
You're going to make bank. Yeah. This is exciting.
Teach for the test. That's what we're going to be doing ourselves.
And these are math teachers that are worried about it?
No, the math teachers are 100%
okay,
fine.
They're fine.
Yeah.
But you talk to someone in languages, colleague I work with, she hasn't taken a math course since grade 11 herself, and she's 50-something.
So, sorry, Ford's plan is to make every teacher have to do a math test?
Every teacher has to pass the competency math test. That's which my
is,
understanding.
Which math, is what
English
grade?
Or just math?
Is just math.
What? Why not English, science, everything else that they're teaching?
That's a fantastic question. I think that comes from the fact that our math scores specifically have been brutal.
They're bad.
Well, I'm on the parent council at our school, and the thing that this year at WRDSBR school board, I think that's what it's called, the big thing that they're focusing on this year is math. That's what they were focusing on this year, was math, because apparently our scores are garbage.
Yeah, and that isn't just your region. That's probably throughout Southern Ontario.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
So what Ford's doing with this math realignment, I mean, this is just one specific thing. I don't know how we got on this so quick, but let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
The math, he wants to change math, is what they say, to go back to the kind of the old way. And I've noticed, you know, helping my kids with math, I'm pretty sure I know how to do the equation, but I can't do it the way that they think they have to do it because I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah. And
it seems more difficult to me, but.
As someone who's got kids of my own, and who are in high school and below that, you know, we invested a bunch of money putting them in Kumon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you did?
Just because at Kumon they were going to get the old school, learn your times tables, start with that, and then build on that, which we know they don't do anymore. Like my other kids, they hand them a times table in grade 4 when they're going to do a math test and say, here's your times tables in case you want to look up what 8 times 3 is.
What? Really?
Yeah.
So you got a cheat sheet that the teacher's actually giving to you to solve your multiplication equation.
Because teaching the times tables is not seen as an essential skill anymore. Now, a bunch of teachers still do it, but it's an extra, and it's probably more the old school teachers that are doing that.
Wow.
See, that, to me, is the basic math you need to know for a living. That's like, okay, I need to know. Wrong. That's not
And when you got a teacher who's in the system, teaching in the system, doesn't want his kid to go into the system because he knows he's not going to learn, and he's
putting
going
them
extra.
In extra. Wow, that's actually eye-opening.
That's crazy.
Okay, so let's get into something else. Let's talk about, so math, okay, fine. The teachers are going to probably have to be studying for a test, which is so funny because we always say, and I know my teachers always said, you know, you're going to need to learn this stuff for, you know, don't teach for the test, don't learn for the test, learn for life. And that's what university is. All these students are learning for the test because as soon as they pass, it leaves your brain.
Yeah.
And so now teachers are going to have to be subject to that.
I think 100%. They're just going to be learning enough to get through this competency test and
forget it again.
For 99% of them that don't teach math or help kids with math, I'm thinking specifically of secondary teachers that they're not going to need it.
So when this dropped and this news dropped, did you guys have this big meeting and they brought you into a conference room and said, this is what Ford's doing? And is there a timeline on it?
No, there was so much other stuff with Ford that had kind of taken the news already that this math thing was just another little announcement that was kind of a little slap in the face, I think. But we were busy talking about the other bigger ticket things.
So what are those?
I'd say specifically it's that bigger class size.
Yes.
Moving from
yes.
an average of 22 kids to an average of 28 kids.
So this article here says nothing changing in kindergarten to grade 3. They're keeping that status quo. Establish a consistent approach to class size for grades 4 to 8, whatever that means. That's what this article says.
Yep.
So, I mean, obviously that means they're changing something.
I think grade 7 and 8, they're going up by one student
per class. Okay.
Per class.
Okay. And then it says for high school, they're trying to get more closely aligned with other jurisdictions, I guess, across Canada.
Right.
Which is obviously other provinces are bigger class sizes in high school?
Yeah, that's my understanding. Is that
what's the detriment to bigger class sizes? Like we know they don't get as close to one-on-one attention as they need.
Well, different streams have different class sizes. So if you take an academic class, the class size is 30 right now. If you take a workplace level class, which would be on the kind of lower end, that's 16.
Oh, because they need more personal attention.
They need more personal attention. So the way they're going to, I assume, accomplish this is by taking the academic students, that's from grade 9 up to grade 12, and kind of blowing that limit significantly higher because you can't put 25 workplace level kids in a class
okay.
that could Jeez. Be very bad. very not.
And this will this add a ton of stress good. To a teacher? Like, let's say you have an extra 6 students in a class.
Well, like, so right now I've got 30 in my grade 12 academic class. You go up to 35. I'm writing reports right now, so that's an extra 5 reports. Mm-hmm. That's an extra 5 of every assignment. I think the detriment is the amount of time the teacher would have in the class per student. Mm-hmm. Kind of just drops. If you're going up by 12% in class size, then you're going down in, oh, I'm not good at math here, that 12% in time with each student. So if you have 2 minutes a student now, what are you going to have?
Yeah. And so teachers are going to have to spend more time in their lunch times and everything else helping students.
Yeah,
more.
That's
even what, more now than ever before.
That's what it'll look like. The school day's not changing. So there'll just be much more of a stress to get through what you need to get through and give that attention to the kids, but not being given that time in the class time to do that.
So the kid that does the style of school that we have well, because there are kids that succeed in this type of schooling we do, they'll be the ones that get the bigger classes.
Yes.
Would you say that those kids, though, will still succeed just based on the fact that they do school well?
Oh, 100%.
They'll still be okay.
Yeah, I think those high-achieving kids, I sometimes wonder what value we even add to their education when we haul them into school and sit them down for 75 minutes. And, you know, those ones are learning a lot on their own.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
Okay.
What about this idea of the students then that are suffering, their class sizes might go up a little bit, but it's going to be detrimental no matter what?
I think so. You go up 3 or 4 in a lower level workplace class or an ESL class. Applied classes, which is below academic, is about 22 students right now, I think. And you go up in those classes and classroom management becomes a lot more of an issue just because you've got more of a full class, less time to spend with each student. So
what's the end game? Is there saying we want more students, more classes, so we can get rid of more teachers? Not build more schools. They're just saying it's a money thing, right?
It's got to be a money thing.
So they're saying, based on this, we can fire or let go or not hire a certain percentage of teachers. And he says he's saving something like, what, $100 million or something like that? Is that what you're going for?
A lot of money.
I think it might even be more than $100 million, at least in the second or third year of the plan. I think right now the plan is to just let the people leave the profession who are going to leave the profession and not replace them. So through attrition to get rid of positions. I mean, imagine if you're a first year teacher's college student right now, you are screwed. Like, what a waste of time.
Oh, you are screwed.
Well, there's
not
going to be any hiring for the next however many years. So that's going to be brutal for them.
Is attrition on some level, though, good?
Yes.
Okay, it is good.
Yeah. Now,
so these old teachers that are like kind of like relevant out, they're not even relevant anymore. They can't teach. That they do it just because they have tenure and they just can't be fired.
Teaching's a funny thing because if you leave early, you get killed in your pension. If you leave before you hit your 85 factor, you lose, I'm guesstimating here, 5% of your pension a year.
Dang.
Which is a big hit to take. So you end up with people who can't do anything else hanging on until they can hit their pension amount. And
some of them are just doing it. They're just, what, going through the motions?
I would say going through the motions. Now, I'd say there's lots of jobs where people go through the motions, but teachers are kind of in a spotlight because, no, we get the pleasure of influencing the younger generation.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, you hit that kid at the right time with a teacher who's doing that. That could ruin.
Really be detrimental.
Years that are coming up for that kid because he doesn't get to where he needs to be in a subject, and then that follows him, right?
Yeah.
For
he's
sure.
Behind.
Yeah.
Especially if you got a kid that can't catch up on that.
Yeah. As a parent, I look critically at my students' teachers. My son's teachers, and I can see the ones that have kind of mailed it in,
yes,
right.
and I can see the excellent ones, and you know
a good teacher is invaluable. A good teacher is like, I remember my good teachers.
Sure,
I don't remember my crappy teachers. Well, it depends how crappy they were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember my favorite teacher who changed my life. Teachers can change lives, and I think a lot of them know it, but I think some of them are just like, some can get like, what's like the worst part about being a teacher?
The worst part of being a teacher, I would say, is the political crap that goes around it.
So not the students, it's the stuff that goes on in the back end.
You're a teacher because you enjoy those interactions with the students, whether they're kind of crazy or whether it's positive or even the negative stuff, kind of, you know, you feed off that and you enjoy that.
Yeah. It's all an adventure.
The challenge, mm-hmm. the adventure. But when, like, this stuff going on right now with Ford, like, for the next however many months, it is going to be a lot of glum faces and a lot of sadness.
Be a lot of lame ducks, you think, just doing, like... Just going.
Well, see, I would argue there's a lot of lame ducks as it is.
Okay.
Like, I think, for example, one of the things we might do, as we take our strike vote, whenever that will be as a union, a popular strike action is to go work to rule. So we don't do extracurriculars. Yep. We only come in 5 minutes before the school day starts. We leave 5 minutes after. No staff meetings. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. 70% of teachers already do that.
I was going to say.
Do they already do that?
Well,
I feel that big time.
Yeah. Like, how many staff are involved in extracurriculars?
That's true.
At my school, it might be a quarter.
Because you're not forced to do it. You do it because you're passionate about those things.
Yeah, I do it because I love sports or I love the extracurricular, or it won't run without a staff sponsor. Mm-hmm. And it's important that these things run. So I suck it up.
So over, 14 years?
You've been?
What's your favorite part about being a teacher then?
I just like the time in class, kind of relaying the information I need to relay to the students, but being relatable. And I love it when the class is laughing and we're all laughing at something together. Those are my favorite times. It's
cool. Yeah, because you connect with them at that level, right? Like that's cool.
And then you connect with the kids, you know, for years after. You see, they'll be in touch with you, or they'll pop by the school and they'll talk about how much they enjoyed it or remember something that we had a good laugh about. But yeah, for me, it's not about the content. They're not going to remember any content they learned. You don't remember any content you learned.
That's true.
They just remember the time they had.
So that's actually a really good segue for the question that we've actually asked it on this podcast like multiple times over the past few weeks. What the heck, if you're supposed to learn how to be a decent human being, I mean, that's got to be a big goal. I mean, your parents need to teach you that, but school should also teach you to be prepared for the world. Why, please correct me if we're wrong on this, are there no more consequences for handing something in late?
Oh, man, if I had the answer to that, I'd
be a
millionaire.
When did it start?
It's 100% true. So it started about 5 years ago. Okay. I was part of this. In our region, when we implemented this, and it's not just no late marks, it's no zeros. If you don't hand something in, you need to give a student another assignment to do. If then this is quite common, if they say they're not ready to write a test, they can not be ready to write a test, and they can do it another time. Like
what the heck?
Do students know this?
Because it's mind-blowing.
If my teacher, don't say it too loud, he might be in his room listening. What?
Why is this okay?
It's honestly created a lot of problems, I would say, in our system.
That hasn't solved anything. There's no way that helps anybody. Well, no. I mean, it might help a person here and there if they are willing to actually do the test for reals.
Yeah.
But my son takes advantage of that all the time.
I know. Well, you think about those late marks. Now, where this came from, because I remember being in our board and listening to a consultant sell it to the staff who were saying this is ridiculous, was saying that, you know, they shouldn't be academically punished for that because that has nothing to do with the quality of the work that was submitted. If a student, I remember the quote was, the punishment for not doing the work is doing the work. And by giving a zero, you're saying you don't need to do the work. I'm going to weight your average as a zero. It's like, no, you still need to do the work. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you another opportunity to do that. So in some ways, I kind of saw where it was coming from. But now watching it 4 or 5 years later, it's a mess.
I mean, in the real world, if you are at a job that is performance-based or project-based, except for the government, but if you miss a deadline or if you're not handing in your work, you're fired. How is this teaching our kids is that the next generation coming out of this thing?
Yeah.
Are they going to go into a job and be like, hey, this is what I know, and then does the world have to change?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah, I think of the post-secondary schools. I was just out of college last Friday down in our region, and it was carnage. The dean was talking about what a mess it is that students from our region, which go into this region college, majority of them are from this region, they've been through the secondary system with no late marks and no zeros, and then they go to a college or university, same thing, where there's a drop box that closes, there's a zero, there's huge consequences for that.
So we're setting up to not be ready for secondary school.
And then we wonder why anxiety is the way it is with kids post-secondary and, you know.
So this is just our region that does this,
you know what?
No late?
It is our region, and it was another region.
Okay.
Let's say closer to Toronto, another region there. And my understanding is they did that before us, and they've since gone back on that. So they've reversed that no late thing, and we haven't.
Why are they holding on here? Is it bleeding heart type stuff?
I don't know. I mean, they don't want to be seen as having policies that just kind of shift with the winds. Maybe they want to kind of ride it out, but I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, the shift happens again, because we're not preparing students for post-secondary by mollycoddling them.
Or they thought post-secondary would follow suit, and post-secondary is like, F you, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
This is upsetting to me, because my kids are right in it, and I don't want my kids being used for experiments. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. It's a massive social experiment.
Yeah, it is. And so you got a bunch of losers come out of, I mean, that's harsh. Probably shouldn't have said it that way.
No, you can say that way.
You snowflakes are beautiful. It's terrible. It makes no sense to me that you would, can you factor it in at least? Like, what if the assignment became, hey, punctuality is part of this assignment, and it's weighted 10%.
Yeah. So when Mike Harris came in, however long, in our province, so we're talking 80s, 90s, one of the things they got rid of was giving marks for punctuality and participation and attendance.
Okay.
So you weren't allowed
No more marks for that.
Wow.
So you can imagine that was a shift. But I will tell you, in my class, I have students who've missed 14 days of class, say.
So nothing you can do about it.
There's been 40 days of class so far this semester, 45. It's not unusual to have 10 or 14 classes missed.
What are the kids doing?
No, they just know. There's no consequence. So I'll be honest, what I did today, I gave them a test, and I asked them a bunch of questions that they only would have maybe remembered had they been in class. And
perfect.
They were not happy.
Well, teachers can then find ways to be like, well, okay. And that just to me is just another way of teachers like having to skirt red tape and having to skirt all these protocols and all this craziness. That's all it does is create problems and stress. And then teachers have to be like, well, because I know some teachers who are like, well, yeah, I can't give a zero, but I'm going to find a way to screw you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to come up with sneaky ways. Actually, I knew another teacher who said she had to come up with sneaky ways too. So that's good though. You need to do that. Now, are you going to get Mommy and Daddy Snowflake calling you on this?
I haven't yet. I've only had the test today. We'll wait till tomorrow. But I think that's another big issue from what I hear at post-secondary is parents getting really involved in their kids' education, like parents sleeping over with the kids in residence. I've heard that.
What the heck?
Yeah,
that's creepy.
About a university in our region.
What?
And then the parents will go and want an update on the academic progress of their child, and the university or college will say, they're an adult. I can't tell you anything. But the parents are the ones calling in and saying, you've got to give them another chance, and da-da-da.
Yeah.
College or university says, I only want to speak to the student. I don't want to talk to you.
Are you seeing a shift in parents coming to you now at these parent-teacher meetings who are like, do this. My son, like, I'm not. I always tell my teachers, like, go hard on my student. Like, make sure he's doing his work. Like, you have my permission to, like, do whatever you need to do.
Beat him.
I at one point, I told the teacher, and I don't know why I said this, but it was at the last parent-teacher meeting.
Yeah.
I will print out
what
a cardboard.
What does this have to do with anything?
I don't know. I said, I'm going to print out a cardboard cut out of my face, and when Tyson's doing something stupid, just hold it up. And she just like, she wasn't laughing. But I was like, but I said something in the meeting. I'm like, if he doesn't do something good, just tell me and I'll beat him when he gets home. And she was like, I was joking. She didn't see the joke. So I'm not sure if CAS might come to my door.
Now you put a picture of yourself on her desk. So she can go, it's this guy.
It's this guy. He beats his kids. Well, and I think a big problem in secondary is parents. What grade is your son in?
11.
11.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, parents go ghost town with the teachers in high school. There's that, like, they don't get nearly as involved as they do. Like on a parents' night, let's say I have 70 students in a semester, I might get 15 parents coming.
Oh, really? Wow. So you're not, so it's not as crazy as I think. But will you get the odd crazy parent that's like, what can we do to, like, you know, if they get a bad mark, will you get yelled at, that kind of thing?
If they get a bad mark, then the you know, the parents are there and they're wanting justification for it, or they're saying what can be done to improve this.
Yeah.
But I would say parents on the whole are very respectful of teachers, at least to their face.
I try to be.
That's good. Yeah.
Does that help? Okay, now this might, you might not want to give this away, but if a parent comes to you and is really concerned about the kid and is respectful and saying, what can we do? Are you more apt to be easier on that student?
99%?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think...
it's okay.
Yeah.
Is your name really Ian? That's really what we're saying.
I'm being honest here. if there's a relationship with the parent and the child and myself,
mm-hmm.
then that's only going to be a positive thing.
Right. That makes sense.
So that's where the better mark will come from, is the fact that that shows that people care.
Yeah.
What I see is that there's a lot of people who don't really care.
Okay.
Or mm-hmm. certainly don't care until the end, and then the hands are in the air. They're like, how can we get this credit for Jimmy? And it's like, well, Jimmy didn't show up for 40 classes. Well, what does he need to do to pass? Go into a time machine.
Call Bill and Ted.
Come back to the start of the semester and try it again. But he won't graduate. Tough.
Yeah. At least you're allowed to be that. At least, because they're going to fail eventually. Even if you can't give a zero. Here's the thing. How then can you fail somebody? Or how can they fail if you can't give them zeros?
Well, you can mark the work that they hand in, and if it's not at level one, then you can say they failed it. Or if in the end they still haven't handed things in, that's where the zeros will come in.
So
if at the end they haven't handed stuff in.
So they have up till the final hour.
Well, and that's an interpretation by some in our board, and other people have said, no, there's a drop deadline that says 2 weeks later is when this thing is absolutely due, at which point it'll be assessed as zero. But that student does have the right to go to that teacher and said, I recognize you gave me a zero on that, but I want a different assignment to prove that I know that. So they have the right to get a different assessment.
So we're just teaching our kids to be like, you get what you want, and there's no recourse or repercussions for anything that you do. And that to me is... Every parent must be so pissed about that. Not every parent, but most parents have got to look at that and say, this is who in their right mind came up with this.
Yeah. Well, when you think or you ask a question about how education has changed, are we doing better or worse? We've changed the standards so differently that it's impossible, I think, to compare.
Well, so you're not even measuring with the same stick.
No.
Mm. So we can't even say we're doing better or worse because we don't know. There's no way to do it. There's no benchmarks.
There's no, I mean, what we use is graduation rates, but you can, what can get you a credit now, you'd be surprised. It's not, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to put in 100 or 95 hours or whatever it is to get a credit anymore. You just have to demonstrate the competency in the areas that need to be shown.
Well, which also, that to me is actually not, the way that you just said that, I'm like, oh, that's reasonable. Yeah. If you know what your onions and we can try, I know, but I'm just saying halfway. Let's say yes, so you don't get any of these late things, fine. But in the same time, like that quote I showed you before the podcast was like the, I'll read it to you. Allowing a student with hidden disability, this is a good segue actually. Allowing a student with a hidden disability, ADHD, anxiety, or dyslexia, to struggle academically or socially when all that is needed for success are appropriate accommodations and explicit instruction is no different than failing to provide a ramp for a person with a wheelchair. And so what he said there might make sense for some students who may not be able to ingest an entire 45 minutes of like somebody yelling math at them. Like I wouldn't be able to.
Right.
But if there was another way for me to demonstrate my competency, even though being in class didn't help me at all, that actually might be a beneficial thing.
You're talking about the 1% Doogie Howser though.
That's
you think
true.
Doogie Howser going to show up on the last day and he's going to go, give me all the tests and write them all and get perfect. That's not the kids that are not coming to class and not handing in their assignments.
Right.
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be a rare kid that's the genius who can just do it all without
who doesn't even need to be in class.
Yeah.
Because you guys don't advance kids anymore either, right? There's no advancing or failing.
There's no advancing and no holding back in primary, which I'm not a primary teacher, but my wife was held back a year. Super traumatizing for her. Mm. Like, a lot of her childhood
trauma
still
make
comes
fun of her
from
though,
that.
Right?
It's mostly because I make fun of her. I hope she's not listening.
Remember you failed grade two? What a loser.
But now, you know, you have students. Like I had a student coming into my grade 9 class. I hope she's not listening.
She's not.
She doesn't know who you are. Your name's not even Ian.
You know, super weak. Like academically, not operating at a grade 9 level.
Okay.
I believe my credit was the only one she got last semester type thing. And like, it's going to be a real struggle for her. She's on track, unless there's major interventions, to not find her credits that she needs.
So that brings me back to this quote then. How do we help students like me who struggled so hard in academics because I have full-blown ADHD? And I'm not saying that as an excuse, because I grew up poor. I didn't have medicine. Like, my parents didn't care.
Yeah.
It was just, that was life. How do we help students who don't learn the same way? Like, again, like that picture we talked about with the monkey and the elephant, and the teacher's like, we're going to test you and you have to climb up this tree. Of course, the monkey's going to excel. The elephant can't do it. What is the answer? Is there an easy answer, or is there a way we can help students that can't learn the way that we teach every student?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, the answer is not to increase the class sizes. Because then there's going to be a lot less time for those students in class. Mm-hmm. And an accommodation requires time. It's not rocket science, but it requires one-on-one time with a learning resource teacher or one-on-one time in student success, or just more time with the classroom teacher. And as that gets trimmed, it's going to be more of a challenge to get that student through high school.
So are those cuts, like, are those trimmings on the cutting block right now?
I believe so.
Because there is something in here that says he's going to give money back to the kids in the classroom. I don't know what the heck that means.
Yeah.
It seems like a broad stroke that...
That's a politician.
Yeah, it's a politician thing. But
corporate answer.
Yeah, I think right now there's still more questions as specifically where the money will go.
Mm.
Our contract's up at the end of the school year. So that's when kind of the new contract can be negotiated. So that's when the board will come to us and say, this is what we're proposing to do with our money. Now, he did say there's going to be spending more money in education. I think the budget's going up by $1 billion or something. But then you do the math with the increased class sizes and the not rehiring of teachers, and you're wondering, there's still lots of questions.
Mm.
So what are teachers, like, are any teachers kind of like, yeah, what he's doing is cool, I'm on board for this?
Or no.
There's no such thing as a teacher's on board for what he's doing.
Yet there's teachers like myself who are more conservative leaning. Yeah. I like the idea of less government, and, you know, you can't just keep putting money into something and expect it to get better. Like, I wouldn't say our education system is better than it was 10 years ago. And if you took a survey of teachers, you would probably find very few that say, yeah, education's been better since the Liberals have done their thing.
Hmm.
But as a teacher and as a union person, if I mention anything about supporting a conservative viewpoint, I'm an idiot.
That's really...
Wow.
Okay, Jeff and I's sons would consider themselves conservative.
Right.
Not just because that's what we are, but these kids are watching, like, weird. They're watching, like, Ben Shapiro, and they're, like, they're making fun of SJWs for, you know, they watch all that stuff, and it's... I watch some of it, too. I'm like, man, you get, like, some of these arguments that these guys have, and they're interested in politics, which is really cool. Don't get... I like that. But they had at their school... This is about school. So they had a person come in who's transgender, and they were saying something about, I said, would you be able to ask the question, is it okay if I don't agree with that? And they said, there's no way I would ever ask that question. They would be done.
Yeah.
Done. And so most teachers are liberal, and so they were interested in taking social science or like political science, poli-sci. And I said, okay. But then they came to me and said, well, he teaches liberal theology. Or ideologies only. Yeah. I'm like, is that fair? Are they doing that because they can do that? Or is that the government saying you have to only teach this ideology?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's the government saying that. There's a couple things there. But going back to where the union stands, there's zero support for anything but a left-leaning liberal / NDP stance. I just saw an email today saying there was funding for members like myself if I wanted to be involved in the federal election, as long as it was to do with an NDP or a liberal candidate.
Well, they can't do that. Or can they? They're private. Are they private entity unions?
I have no idea, but they did. I saw the email today saying if you're supporting a Liberal or an NDP candidate, there's funding for you to blankety blankety blank. Yeah.
No way.
Wow.
That seems like okay.
So, wow. So you toe the union line, or you're an idiot.
I have to.
Yeah, or you're an idiot. That's sure. How it goes. Yeah.
Would you consider most teachers in your school liberal?
Liberal or NDP leaning?
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Most, like 80%. Oh. So our kids, regardless, and everyone would say, well, conservatives are considered racist and everything else. Like conservatives now are always, literally no matter what, even if you're left of center, right of center, if you're right of center, doesn't matter. You're considered racist. If you support anything that's like conservative now, you're labeled all these crazy things.
Yeah.
And so our students who want to argue these things in poli-sci and all this stuff, they actually feel like, and it's weird because Tyson and Ty are pretty smart kids. They're pretty opinionated, but they would not argue in a class. They would not say things that they think are, and I'm not saying they're trying to say things that are racist or like, and I would never tell my kid to not use a pronoun for a kid who's transgender or anything. It would never happen. But I'm like, can you ask the question that says, look, if I'm our kids are a Christian, they grew up Christian.
Mm-hmm.
If they said, look, is it okay for me to still like just to not believe in that ideology? And they wouldn't even think about asking the question because then they would be considered homophobic, xenophobic, phobic, everything.
Yeah.
And that's bad.
Yeah.
So we can't, like, I'm not saying we want our kids to not, you know, how do I say this nicely? Like, I want them to think for themselves too. I don't want them to just be taught everything. I want them to be able to have thoughts and to be able to ask questions. And then things, when they get to the university, it comes, sometimes gets even worse where they're like, with this thing that happened with what's her face over in University or Laurier, what's her name? That
yeah, I know where she couldn't talk because she wanted to have.
Couldn't talk, and you're not allowed to say anything else. This is the problem with the education system, and a lot of parents are saying, like, you got to stop this, like the politicking and like people hating on certain ideologies and certain politicians and the conservative or liberal. Like, if you had a liberal teacher, they're saying things that liberal teachers are saying. Conservatives are like, they're saying things that are bad. So if a student's in your class that is a conservative, they don't care. But if that conservative student said something against a liberal ideology, they get like hammered.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. That's what is perceived.
And I think it's like when I see Ty, when you're talking about it, like I know he takes conservative stances and it actually freaks me out a bit because I think he goes too far. But I think that they're making that happen because then he wants to prove himself. So then he's digging his heels in and he almost goes like
to the extreme,
really, like, yeah. And I mean, not crazy extreme, but probably more extreme than I would go. And I'm and I have to have conversations with him too. And he'll get mad at me because I'm not trying to
necessarily.
But I'm also not trying to thwart what he's saying. I'm just trying to like put a healthy spin on it as opposed to a hard line because he feels they're putting a hard line on him, right?
And so, they are.
They are, I know.
And we got a teacher here saying this is what's happening.
I know.
And we know that.
But I don't want, it bothers me that they're pushing him so far that he feels he has to dig in that much because I don't want him to start adopting like crazy right wing ideology either, right?
What about like phones in class? How is that affecting? How does that affect it in the past? Let's say it's become mainstream for what, the last 15 years?
The phones?
Since probably you've been. Have you been teaching years. For 14 years? Okay, so 10 years, it's been like an issue.
Since the iPhone, 10 years.
Yeah. And so are you seeing that as detriment, positive? Are there any positives, any negatives? What is that doing to students these days as you're seeing?
It's a nightmare. It really is. It's gotten to the point where I believe it's full on, full blown addiction, where they have to be on their phone. Now you go back to thinking about less time per kid, and teachers are busy with a bigger class size. You know how much time you're going to have to police phones. Now I know Ford's talking about a cell phone ban, but that would be kind of up to the school board, up to the school, up to the teacher to implement. So that's an interesting thing to see whether that will actually make a difference.
So are there kids in your class right now who are on their phones texting during class?
Yes, unless I'm on them. Yeah, 100%.
So they just do it and you can't take their phone because the rule is you can't take it because if someone steals it, you own the phone.
Yeah, I can't take their phone. Now lots of staff, I would say, have policies against phones. I say a lot. Maybe it's not that many that have an actual black and white policy. Like if I see that phone, I'm sending you down to the office. But,
okay.
You know, if you talk to administrator in the school, they're like, why are you wasting my time with this stupid phone stuff?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to speak to the kid about it. There's the police are here for this. The blank is happening. I've got this going on.
Yeah. So that's something that doesn't even hit the radar.
So low. On the radar.
Can some teachers say, put your phone on my desk, leave it there?
No, because if it's on your desk, then it's in your property. And then
it's stolen, you're screwed.
Yeah. So.
So what where kids lead line, leave one of these just lead line all the classrooms so they get no signal.
That's a great idea.
But they can't now because they have Chromebooks and they're on Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
But that would probably be against their rights as well. You wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah. It has changed. It has changed.
Saying that, I just got a letter from my kid's teacher last week, and his school, as of today, is banning cell phones. This is a primary school.
Okay.
Banning cell phones in the classroom. So, and it has like a 3-strike policy. I'll take it away. But you should have seen his face when he brought home the letter. We had been in touch with the teacher, so we knew it was coming. And his face, he just came in and handed this letter to us. And my wife and I did a bit of a happy dance. And he was like, they can't do that. Like, they just did it.
Yo, bro.
So your kids have phones?
They have iPods that don't have a SIM card in them, or phones that don't have a SIM cards. But there's Wi-Fi everywhere.
Yep.
And they all use VPN so they can access what they want. You know, you can block Instagram, but they can VPN and use it. And they're...
Oh, I know. There's the,
it's
there's
a
no
different
point putting
world.
Anything up because they'll get around it faster.
Do you walk the halls of your high school and just kids are just not interacting anymore?
100%. Yeah.
Our kids say that.
I know. They just hang out in the same room with
their
phones.
Some girl, I watched her walk almost right into me and I made it almost a little awkward. Like I waited for her to see me and she walked a good 15 meters straight into me and I just stood there and I just kind of, you know, laughed. But they're always bashing into things.
Wow.
Holding their phones.
These are dumb.
It's not just kids, man. The adults are addicted to these things like crazy.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. If they're learning from us, it's no wonder.
Well,
but their little frontal thing is not developed, whatever that's called, frontal cortex. Yeah. And any of the studies say getting a hit on a like on social media is like a little dopamine hit on that cortex that's not developed, and it's bad.
It's addictive.
Any of the studies say
that. It's like coke
that.
And it's like all the drugs. It's like all the in the gaming and everything else. These like adrenaline that these kids experience when they game. It's like it's what we experienced when we did, you know, threw
something
snowball
real.
A car and ran away from the cops. That's what we. But they get that on like for 12 hours straight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We didn't. We just different. I mean, I'm not bad or I'm just saying like. I think we have to embrace that it's different, and how do we get around this? Because you're going to see some kind of psychological thing happen soon, where there's going to be something based on a phone, where we're going to switch back to kids aren't going to have phones, or nobody. I don't know. I don't. Maybe not. But my kids don't know life without a touchscreen.
Yeah,
it doesn't exist.
I'm just upset because it makes me sad.
Yeah, man.
My kids, fortunately, Thatcher's phone broke. So, and that's the other thing. We didn't buy our kids the touch phones.
Yeah.
We actually bought them the flip phone, the old man flip phones, right? I know. And they were hating on us, but Ty, who is now passed through to the other side.
Yeah.
He doesn't care. Mm-hmm. He got himself a touch screen too. We didn't put a SIM card in it so he could do the Wi-Fi everywhere. And then he jumped in the ocean with it in his pocket and it's dead. And he's like, oh, well, whatever. Back to status quo.
Flippy.
It's like anything. If you take it away, if you take that thing, eventually they'll get over it and they'll do something else. Like our kids, like remember you cut Fortnite out, we cut Fortnite out and it still hasn't been back and they don't even like it. At first it's hard, but like any addiction that you break, it just, they overcome it and they do. And then they end up being better.
Yeah.
I'm going to be bold here. I'm going to tell you why kids are allowed to have these things. This is what I think. It's because if the kid didn't have these, they would be talking to you while you're on it and addicted to it. And I don't think parents want that.
It is quite a statement. And I think that you're
probably right. I think
there's
truth to it.
No, I think you're right.
Right?
Very bold.
Yeah. So.
But I think there's got to be some truth to it. I'm not saying that, like, I don't want to be talking to my kids that here's your own, but I am guilty of, I'm trying to get something done. I'm like, go on your iPad.
Yeah.
I'm guilty of it.
Well, and it's a pacifier in the classroom.
Oh, yeah. Right?
I would say that some teachers are, if there's time to kill at the end, the kids aren't sitting there being annoying with each other. They can just sit there and entertain themselves on their phone.
Do you find that there's less outward behavioral issues because kids can keep them busy on the phone? Like, because they're not so bored, so they're not doing crazy things?
I don't know about that. I would say this, maybe the cyberbullying has picked up where any of that has left off, and kind of the damage that that causes to relationships and
Jeez.
For sure.
Wow. It's not looking good.
No.
Is there any is there any silver lining? Is there anything on the horizon that we can look forward to as parents and teachers to say anything?
You know, I think every generation probably goes through their the sky is falling with education. I would be happy if there was radical changes made, like blow up the idea of the school day as it is and subjects being 75 minutes. And like it would be, that would be radical change. But for now, the students coming out the other end are, generally speaking, still going on to university and college and getting careers. And there are doctors and our nurses and our, you know, we're all, we're all still here.
So it's just like, it is what it is. It's status quo and they're okay with it. I mean, like,
I was going to say, who does that model correctly that you're talking about?
I saw something interesting on the education system in Finland where, first of all, no homework. Homework was a big problem there. So they said it was getting in the way of their learning. The school day was never 6 hours long. Depending on the age of the students, it was a couple hours or a couple hours or maybe 3 hours. And then lots of time to play, lots of time, especially in primary, like, you know, as much time socializing and playing as going through the curriculum. Because as we know, what do you remember learning? Like, what content do you remember?
Right.
I'm trying to look back. I'm in hot cross buns when we played in the recorder. So drew an eyeball in our class.
I'm going to watch this later. There is a YouTube video of why Finland has the best education system in the world. So I kind of want to look into it. But so how would they? I mean, these phones are everywhere. So how do they deal with that, I wonder? Like, because...
Finland, you got to remember, too, Finland's like a tiny percentage of the same population we have.
No, I know. But they're still going to... They got the same amount
You're right.
Proportionally, they have teachers to student ratio and... There's going to be a phone in every kid's hand. So how
we talk about radical change, but if they went through radical change, it would be chaos.
It would be chaos, but it would take guts to do it.
And no one has guts to do
that. No one has the guts to do that.
You got
to
admit that it's wrong first, which clearly a lot of people are admitting.
So we come in and we tweak the little things every now and again with the different political wave and cause a little bit of chaos and say we made some changes, and then another government comes in and cuts class sizes or.
What do you think's gonna, like, if Ford goes through with all this, which sounds like he's going to, what do you think the teachers union is gonna do?
Well,
you think there's gonna be school in September?
Ooh, that's a good question. It comes down to the bargaining that we have for our contract. Most of the items for the bargaining come centrally. So, like, the salary and the big stuff comes centrally, and then the local boards do like little things. But that central bargaining, I think, is where there's going to be, I assume, the biggest hurdles and issues. And the union's going to probably push back and say, no, we want 2% for the next 3 years, not 0.5%, or we want whatever it is. And so we'll have a strike vote. And then as long as there's a strong mandate there, then that gives them the right to take strike action, which doesn't mean walking out.
Obviously, just means a couple things you could do.
Like, like in secondary school, you know, you walk out. What's great? I don't get paid. I get paid strike pay to stand in front of the little oil bin drinking my Tim Hortons. That's true. My five kids and my wife go hungry. My wife doesn't work right now. I'm the sole breadwinner. So it's important that I'm working. So if you
guys go on strike, you're
screwed. I would be super screwed.
So if the teachers union votes to go on strike, you're done. Like, so you guys want to get back to work. It's not like teachers want to screw people over. They want to get back to work because they're not making money.
Yeah. You go on strike, you're on strike pay, which is...
I don't think anybody wants to be on strike. Aren't teachers salaried, though?
Yeah, we're salaried, but if you're on strike, you're not getting anything but strike pay, which
is... But will you get back pay if you get back to work?
No.
So you are screwed out of that money.
You lose that money entirely.
I did not know that.
And the math on it is that if you go on strike, even if you get like an extra percent in your negotiation, you never make back the money that you lost on that strike.
Parents don't know that because a lot of parents I know I know a lot of teachers, and I know a lot of parents. Whenever teachers strike, teachers get the hate. They get the hate.
Yeah.
I don't think parents know that teachers aren't getting paid to stand on that. They think they're still getting paid and getting all the benefit. I didn't know that either.
No, we do get a strike pay, it's called, but I'd like to put it at like $100 a week or something like it.
So it's like less than 10%.
It's your coffee money.
Yeah.
But not paid by the board. That's paid by the union dues that you guys have put in over the years.
And you can't go on EI.
Right. No, you can't go on EI.
So the longer you strike, teachers get, the harder it is for you.
For sure.
But so you have to... So why would teachers then strike to go on strike for that 1% increase?
Because they have to force the hand. That's why.
Yeah, they believe in the cause enough.
Okay.
And I would say, generally speaking, for this action right now with the increased class sizes, mm-hmm. at least the information we've been given, that people are passionate about it.
Okay.
It's not so bad. Nobody's saying that. They're saying, like, what does 38 kids in my class even look like?
Yeah.
Right, I have 30 desks in my class, and they come up right to the front of the class.
How are you going to fit them in there?
Where are we going to put the other eight?
Yeah.
And kids stink.
It's somebody fighting for work conditions. I mean, you're decreasing the work conditions, so yeah, you got to fight for that. Other workers would fight for the same thing.
Honestly, that was eye opening. That you don't. Yeah. I think more parents need to know that, and I think the union doesn't say like, hey, hate us. Why you hate us? We're actually taking a huge hit here.
Yeah.
They're not expressing that enough, I don't think. I didn't even know that. So I'm not saying it's their fault. I'm just saying it is definitely eye-opening, this whole thing that's going to happen with our kids. Because now I have kids in school, and I want them to have the better education.
Yep.
So I take the side of teachers probably generally because I want my kids to have a really good education. Yep. But at the same time, if sometimes the strikes are just like the worst time, because then the kids can't go to school. And then... It takes, and that's why they do it, because it's this huge ripple effect inside of society when a teacher strikes.
Mm-hmm.
Parents can't go to work. You know, you have to find childcare. All these crazy things that have to happen because.
Well, if it's secondary students, do you still need childcare? Like, your kids are 14 and up.
No, you don't.
So there isn't the incentive really for the teachers to get pushed back to work. Maybe that's part of Ford's money saving. He's like, I'm going to piss them off enough that they go on strike for a month. There's my $200 million in salary right there when every secondary school teacher goes on strike.
Mm.
Maybe that's the savings. But
Conspiracy theories, I like it. Kids that have special learning needs, they're all integrated into regular class, correct?
Yes, for the very most part.
And I'm trying to remember back to when I was a kid. I think it was the same. Like, those kids would be in class, so...
I think we had different schools where some of them went to that were very more on the high needs end.
Okay.
But
so do you think the integration, like, is that just a money saving thing because they can't afford to have special teachers and more individualized learning plans?
I think it came with the idea that we'd take the money that we're spending wherever and we're going to put more resources in the school. So there's more EAs, more learning resource support, more IEP support in secondary school. Do those kids flourish being in a classroom with 21 other students or whatever it is? That's up for debate, because often maybe they need more support than just having a reduced class size or having an EA for one or two of their maybe academic courses in the day. It really does depend on the student. I've seen some students, you know, thrive, some more high need students thrive, but then you also see plenty of them where they're just putting time in.
Yeah.
Like, they'll never graduate with speech marks from high school because you need this many credits and you need this many, and there's not enough, you know, basket weaving credits that you can get in high school to graduate.
Right.
But what happens to those kids?
That's a great question. Hopefully they don't end up in jail. Hopefully they learn some life skills and they get kind of a base level of competency in something.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if one of those kids was yours, though. I mean, I think of special needs kids in my neighborhood that even at a young age, you think of the parents who are your peers and you're like, you are never going to not have that child living with you and be dependent on you, right? That's heartbreaking.
That is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I'm sad now.
This has been fun.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I mean, it, actually, if anything, the conversation has started. And if parents are listening, and dads especially out there just kind of chilling out, understanding this, that we can, the parents can do something about it. What can parents do? What can we do? It's just, is it voting a certain government in or out? Or is it standing by the teachers? I don't know. Is there an answer?
I think the biggest thing parents can do is get more involved in their, reach out to the teachers, mm-hmm. get more involved in their kids' education at school, make a contact with that teacher. I think parents tend to step back in high school and whereas primary school, they're walking in the front door and they're involved, mm-hmm. but secondary school, they tend to step back and they're like, well, it's time to be on your own, little birdie. Mm-hmm. But at the same point, you don't want to be a snowplow parent,
yes.
you know, moving away all obstacles. You want yep. you want your student and your child to face some adversity so that they kind of gain some resilience and some mm-hmm. grit. And I don't know if class sizes is the way, increased class sizes is the way to get that resilience. But yeah, parents so, just
you need to
get
be tweeting
involved.
That forward. You need to be saying forward, change your mind on this. Even from conservative parents who may have voted Doug Ford government or conservative government and say, this is not good. This is not good for anybody. There's no way that he's sitting in this, in his high chair saying, this sounds like a good idea. Yeah, and everybody will be cool with this.
But the big time conservative parents that vote him in are the ones sending their kids to private schools where the class
That's
sizes
true.
Are
yeah.
small
yeah.
and they're getting all the special needs met mm-hmm. because they can throw dollar bills at it.
Yeah. I think that school has become an elite activity where I can afford my son to have a tutor, and I do.
Yep.
And he now has an advantage over kids that could never afford a tutor. Mm-hmm. And school, like hockey, like sports, like things, when it becomes a point where you can advance past everybody else with money, and I'm not saying we're not rich at all. I just we invest in that because we think it's important, and some parents can't even if they wanted to. And I'd say more than half can't or don't know or whatever. And so when it becomes elite like that, then there's going to be a disparage, and that's why the 1% exists.
Yep.
That's why Lori Loughlin paid for her daughter to go to school. Hot topic. She went not guilty. Anyway.
Oh, she went not guilty.
So tell, okay, so that's so sad, but tell us about your life and your kids. You have 5 kids, dude. Do you have not have Netflix?
5 kids. Yeah.
You better not strike, because if your wife's at home, you're going to have more.
Dude.
No, that is not possible. Although saying that, boys, after you get your vasectomy, get that sucker checked, because my 5th child was 3 months post-vasectomy.
It's not hard to get it checked. You just got to get one of the cups.
I was 3 months post. I should have been clear.
That's amazing.
Wait, you didn't check.
What do you mean? What do you have? What are you checking here? Explain to me.
You got to fill a cup. You take
you don't
it
need
in.
To fill the whole cup, Jeff.
You don't have to fill the cup.
How big is this cup?
You shoot in the cup.
Okay.
You
and then they go in and they
in
test
the cup,
it.
And they check to
after
see
3
if you
months?
Got swimmers.
After 3 months.
And you didn't do the cup.
It was just on the 3 months. And,
dude, you should have waited, man.
You didn't do the cup, but you did the other. That's the...
Well, let's
you did
just
the
test
deed
it this
before
way.
The cup.
Let's just...
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Test. How many kids were in your class when you were doing sex ed? That's what I want to know.
That's a good... I went to private school up until grade 6. That's the problem.
Okay, yeah. So tell us about your kids, if they're okay with that.
Yeah. Well, there's 4 boys and a girl.
Oh, dude.
The youngest one's a girl, so that's...
And she treated differently?
Absolutely.
Minus 2.
I think.
So it was...
And she runs the show, really.
She runs it.
She runs it.
How old is she?
She's 5.
Okay, I have a 6-year-old girl.
Five
she's the princess.
Yeah.
And she gets everything she wants. Doesn't even matter.
Yep. So I got high school age. Down.
How old is he?
He's grade 9. He's 14.
Okay.
And then I got all the way down to senior kindergarten. So
holy smokes, man.
The spread.
You got a
Disney's
lot.
Expensive.
You're going to go through many school systems.
Are you? Are any of your kids in your school system?
No, I live in a different region.
Okay.
So, yeah, not really, not on the cards.
Okay.
But
like, yeah. Can you tutor your kids so they get better grades?
I do. I do. At least my one is in grade 9. I just helped him with math because I did teach grade 9 math, summer school. And I'm sure that was a big help to him. Next year he's on his own, though. I told him that.
You're like, it's like, you've seen Incredibles 2?
Yes.
Why did they change math? Why change? That's so funny to me. And so you've been married for what?
Married for 19 years.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's more than both of us.
It's more than both of us, dude.
Yeah.
And so like, life's crazy for you, dude.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Do you have animals?
I have a dog.
Yeah.
We got a dog after the second child because we didn't think we could have any more kids.
Yeah.
So we got a dog. We ended up being able to have more kids.
Yeah.
Whoops.
But we kept the dog.
Why do you keep calling me whoops, Dad? No reason.
That's all right. Our fourth child is named Parker.
Yeah.
After the fact that my wife and I were camping in a park 9 months before he was born. And his middle name is McGregor. So you can guess.
Which park were you at?
I'll leave that up
That's
to you.
Amazing.
Does he know the story?
No, but yeah, everyone else does, so I'm sure one day they'll tell older. Him.
That's kind of, it's endearing.
I like it.
Not when you're in high school, but later in your life when you have your own kids, they'll be like, that's cute, but now they're embarrassed forever. That's great. And so, here's what we're going to ask you then. This is a question we ask all the dads on our show. What percentage of diapers did you change over all the lifetime of your kids?
Ooh, over their lifetime. I was the night guy.
Yeah.
Just because I was okay on less sleep, so. Mm-hmm.
So you were always on the night shift?
I was like the night shift, holding in the pooing chair, trying to get some sleep.
All right,
that's kind of how I rolled. Although, I don't know if I was changing the diapers. My wife would kind of feed and change the diaper and then pass off.
Yeah.
So the nighttime I wasn't involved, and then during the day I was out at work.
Yeah.
But I would say in the home hours for sure. So, 25%.
That's a pretty high number. Wow. Jeff got 50.
We get a call.
50, that's a lie.
Call his wife.
I don't have his wife's number.
We'll get the number.
Can we confirm?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay, call her up.
That's all what right, we do.
Jeff got 50% and confirmed, corroborated, 50%.
I didn't say 50. I said 40. She gave 50.
I said 5% and I got 7. Because I'm just lazy.
Carrie. What's her name?
Sheena.
You want to ask her?
I don't know if she's in the good mood or not. I guess we'll find out.
Hey, Sheena, you're on the Dad Challenge podcast.
Does she know you're here?
Yeah.
Okay. Pretty close.
Hello.
Hi, is this Sheena?
It is.
Hey, Sheena, this is Jeff calling. I've got your husband here on a podcast.
Oh, hi.
Hey, are you in a good mood? He said you might not be.
Oh, I don't know how to answer that.
Well, we're laughing,
That's
so we're...
fabulous mood.
Oh,
that's
good. Awesome.
Excellent. I'll be home in 25 minutes.
Sheena, we just asked a question to Ian, and we need some collaboration. We need to know your honest answer. We ask every dad that we have on the podcast this question. Uh-huh. Over the lifetime of your children while they were in diapers, what percentage of diapers did Ian change?
Oh.
You know.
Well, at least 50%.
50%!
Back of the net! That's...
Wow!
That's wow. He said...
50%.
He said 25%.
Oh, no.
More than 25%?
You've got a keeper here, my friend.
I know.
You've got a keeper. Sheena's a keeper.
She is a keeper.
She gave you mad props.
She gave you half.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously during the day when he was at work, I was doing them. But on the weekends and, you know...
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Weekends.
We forgot about the weekends.
Yeah, they poop way more on the weekends. That's true.
They
poop. All right, fair enough.
Sheena, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Holidays.
Oh, and holidays.
Oh, holidays, yes.
But we appreciate, he was just telling us about the vasectomy. and just the horror stories. It's amazing. And so we appreciate you coming on the podcast and corroborating that thing. So thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
Bye, my love. I'll see you in 30 minutes.
Bye.
50%, dude. That's a
that's
big.
Great.
That's like you just won the lottery, man.
Yeah, maybe it's true. I don't know. It's
that's
all,
awesome.
But childhood's a blur, right?
Yeah, like that's true.
You just got to survive those days.
And now you're at 5 years old, so you're out of diaper. Obviously, you're out of diapers. In SK
out of diapers. Screw that. Those things are a nightmare.
Don't like diapers.
Diapers expensive.
Next diaper that I want to touch is the one that gets changed on me.
All right. Well, I mean, we're like an hour 35.
That's a long one. I gotta edit.
It's all right. Okay. So thanks for coming on, Ian, and telling us all the sadness of our education system. It's honestly, though, it's eye opening and it's important to talk about.
Yeah. Hopefully people listen and hear what's going on and say something to somebody that will listen. But
you know what? Buy your teacher a really good end of the year gift. What is a good gift to buy a teacher?
That's a good question.
I would say scotch.
Like the alcohol?
Yes.
Not tape.
Not tape.
Bring the scotch tape. The teacher said he wanted it.
Nothing says I appreciate you like an LCBO gift card.
And that's what I was going to say, because you can't have a high school kid and bring in a bottle of scotch in at the end of the school year, right? That's
true.
Unless they disguise it and you do it well.
Or cannabis.
Cannabis is legal.
I guess.
So if you're listening, says, I love you, buy like your teacher spliff. Some weed or some scotch. That's all you need. What's the best gift you've ever gotten as a teacher? Have you been given gifts? 14 years. You must have had some gifts.
I got some gifts, gift cards and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I did get a card from this student last semester who's she's new into Canada and she's waiting on dialysis. She goes to dialysis. Oh, okay. She needs a kidney transplant. Mm-hmm. She's not in a great way. And she wrote a card and it was like one or two sentences and it just said, "Thank you for making me laugh when I had almost forgotten how to."
Oh, dude.
Oh, my goodness. We're going to cry. Dude. I'm going to ugly cry.
Wow. That's all it said.
That's the best gift. That's not even...
That was the best gift I ever got.
That's the worst gift you've ever been given.
Worst gift.
Like a bag of dog poo or something?
High school teachers don't get many gifts, right?
We get pretty much nothing.
So like grade one teachers make...
They make bank.
Because that's... Especially in the school system, like in ours, we live in a very affluent area, and I'm sure those teachers are just rolling in stuff.
I know.
Teacher, we give our crossing guard gifts.
Come on.
Yeah, man. This is like the neighborhood. I'm on the parent council at my school, the first time I've ever done this, because I was like, I don't know, because I'm bored. And it's like, these parents are super invested. We raised $60,000 for a playground in 6 months.
Get out of here.
No joke. Wow. Kids selling 15 boxes of chocolate bars. I'm like... My daughter's got 4 sold. Great. This kid sold 15. That kid's parents are definitely mafia. There's no way you're selling 15 boxes of chocolate bars door to door. Their parents did that. I was upset because she won the stinking hoverboard that my daughter wanted. But I'm like, 15 boxes of chocolate bars is like $1,600. Just buy the hoverboard, the $300. Why could it be like that? Anyway, that's
just
my rant.
Just a sore loser.
I'm just a little bit bitter because my 6-year-old sold four boxes of chocolate bars. That's a lot of chocolate bars.
You should have snowplowed for her. Got all the obstacles out of her way so she could have won.
Yeah.
So,
which is what these parents did. And shame on you if you're listening. I don't know who you are. Shame on you. Anyway, so thanks, Ian, for coming on. That's really
pleasure.
Cool. This is really cool. I liked it.
Yeah, me
and
too.
You know what? As education topics keep coming up, we'd love to have you on because I want to do talk about continuing what the future could look like if we actually tried to affect change. That might be something worth getting into and really, really exploring. Box of chocolate bars. That's a lot of chocolate bars.
You should have snowplowed for it. Got all the on.
Racist question of the day. Are your Asian students the best students in your school?
I would say in some of our classes, you know, specifically math class, that's coming to mind. Some of our university level math classes. Generally speaking, the students that win the awards are of Asian descent.
That's
because
it's
because they still do math.
Yeah.
The way math's supposed to be done.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Let's just move to Finland.
My pleasure.
Well, that was a little sad.
Give me a tissue.
Our kids are definitely screwed.
You know what? Let's make one thing clear. We were talking about the system, right?
Yeah.
And in any job, there's going to be some terrible employees. And there's some teachers out there. Like, I can think of one. Ms. Mm-hmm. Fowle, if you're listening.
You're going to call a name out.
I don't even care.
That you grew up with?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was her
She's
name.
She's probably dead already anyway.
I think that was her name. She hated my guts. And I was not a kid that was hated by teachers.
Falcon, suck it.
Yeah. So she was brutal. So whatever. So there's people like that, right? And they make things miserable. And it was terrible because I couldn't figure out why she hated me. That was the worst part. It's like knowing that, right?
She just chose to hate you.
Yeah. So whatever. But there are great teachers out there, right? But they're working within this system that it seems like after we talked to Ian, it's failing our kids. It's failing our future, or at least, if not failing, not helping them to succeed, right?
Yeah, and I think they're locked into this thing where they're just trying to do best they can, and that's what I'm figuring. I'm not saying all teachers deserve the benefit of the doubt, because they don't all. But I know a lot of teachers. I know a lot out there who work their arse off, who work really hard,
absolutely,
who love students, who want to see them succeed. And it's just a few bad apples that can, like he said, he can't be fired.
Yeah, but again, they're handcuffed by the system. Like, you got a great teacher who delivers a great lesson, and the kids can basically just go, I don't care.
Yep.
Because I don't have to hand anything in. If I don't want to do the test today, I'll tell you, you have to give me another test. And it's like, how are you putting that on a developing adolescent brain to choose their own path?
Yeah,
with that?
Because you're not going to let them make other choices that are so, like, crazy. I guess you are now. This is what happens when liberal ideology, I'm saying, like, far left liberal ideology, gets implanted into our education system. Now, there's nothing wrong with being center left, center right. There's nothing wrong with a good centrist ideology where you're saying, like, here's good, here's bad, here's whatever, and here's what we think. But when you do far, far left things and or far, far right things, that's bad. And so our education system right now would be, I would be considered pretty far left. We're just saying,
sure,
you don't have no consequences for doing anything wrong. Give you whatever you want, do whatever. And then we're feeding this idea into the kids. And when they get out into the education, the world, it just perpetuates the 1% more. And that's what the far left doesn't want. And it just makes it worse.
Yeah. Because that's not life. Yeah. Everyone knows that when you go to school, you are not going to remember the book report that you did.
Yep.
You're not going to remember the lesson that you learned. You're going to learn, hopefully, how to be part of society, mm-hmm. how to, like, I actually
with an
think
emphasis
how
on
to
something
meet
that you
deadlines.
Like. Well, with an emphasis on something that you're going to be good at.
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah.
But not during elementary school
no,
right. and high school. I mean, that's hard. I mean, the fact that the kids even in high school have to pick what they want to do within that 4-year period from being 14 to, what, 17? By the time Ty leaves, he's only going to be 17 because he's a late birthday.
Yep.
Like, I feel bad for him to have to make that decision. Yep. But, like, he's not going to remember that stuff.
He's not. And I think what's important is that not teaching our kids when they go into secondary education that there are consequences for late work or for whatever. I'm not saying that they're not going to... I'm not saying students are stupid and be like, well, I didn't have to do this in high school, so I won't do here. But they're going to be hit with something that they're not expecting.
But Josh, they are. That's the funny thing. When Ian just touched on it there, you know Trish works at the university. Mm-hmm. And she's an admin. She's not, I don't think, fielding all the calls, but she knows the calls are coming. Parents are calling on behalf of their kids to ask for more marks, to say that a professor has to give them, you know, another test or has to give them another mark. And the kids think that they can too. The kids will actually argue for it too. The ones that are more bold and don't get their parents to do it, but they still think because of where they came from that they're entitled to get whatever mark they say they should get.
And that's going to, honestly, if liberal ideology, the far left liberal think tank continues to do this with the education system, it's going to be like that.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, you are what you say you are. Your marks are what you think they should be. You go do what you want to do. But the real world, which is run by normal centrists generally, are going to say, nope, I'm not. This is why you're going to get all these people have degrees. And they're like, why can't I get a job? Because you suck.
Right.
That's why.
But in university, you're getting gut punched because they don't care if your mommy calls. They don't care if daddy calls. They don't care if you call and complain and whine and say, well, that didn't happen in high school. They don't care.
Yeah, that's where the crap hits the fan.
It's just what's leading up to that is failing the kid for when they get to that.
Yeah, that's exactly. So, I mean, I hate that school has become elite now, that even athletes and people that can excel because they are who they are, or parents can afford this, or with this whole scandal with Lori Loughlin, all those people who are just getting their kids in school by paying for it. It's become elite to do, but at the same time, that's not, your kids aren't winning either. They're not getting an education based on their merit. But this one is like a circular, we're going to keep going back. There's nothing we can do about it.
We actually have a couple of friends who can afford for their kids to be in private school. Mm-hmm. I think of two right off the bat. They're actually at the same school.
Yeah.
Those kids are smart and those kids get amazing opportunities to learn.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like a failure because I can't afford to pay those tuition fees for my kids.
Yeah. But
I wish I could.
I know.
But they can.
But if you could,
those kids are benefiting.
And I get it. And if I could afford it and give my kid every advantage, I absolutely would.
Sure.
I would too. And I think any parent would say the truth. That's the truth of it.
So. Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, well, that was a sad episode. Wow. Anyway, you can check us out on Instagram. You can check us out on Facebook.
And Twitter.
At the Dad Challenge Podcast. Make sure you get on the Instagram and, you know, tell us what you think. I mean, you got some insight into what constitutes a good education system, what you think, where is working, what's happening in the world, if there's something spiking out there that works. And in Ford, if you're listening to this podcast, dude, you got to chill, man. You got to chill on this.
Yeah. Make changes. Changes need to be made, but don't make ones that make it harder to teach and make it harder to learn.
If you're going to make changes to anything in society, it should not be to cut anything in education, ever. Unless there's bloated gravy train stuff happening, but I don't think that you could ever have that in a school system. You couldn't put enough money into school, ever. You should have the most extracurriculars. You should have all the art. You should have all the music. You should have everything. You should never take money. You should always put money into education, no matter what. No matter what, the world has proved that. And I think that's one thing where you shouldn't always have a gravy train rolling through. That's just me.
Yep, but you got to do right with the money. Because you can throw money at something and put it in the wrong spot and it's messed.
Yep.
Stop increasing class sizes. It doesn't make any sense.
No. We're not for that. Cool. All right, well, that's sad. See ya.
See ya.